All right, thank you for that. Joy has been working for 20 plus years here at the church. I always say, if something happens to me, you're going to get a replacement. Anything happens to Joy, you all are in big trouble. And she's the one that knows where everything is around here. And as far as the church, she's been church secretary for a long time now also. And again, I appreciate all the help she is. Don't say a whole lot about her. She really works behind the scenes, I'll tell you what. And I want to tell you, church needs people like that. And again, I appreciate her faithfulness and several others of you. You never get a pat on the back, but I tell you what, we couldn't make it without you in the sense that obviously the Lord can replace any of us, but I tell you what, he uses people, and so I appreciate that. Matthew 15 is where we're at tonight, and I want to look at this short story with you tonight, Matthew 15. We're going to jump down to verse number 21, Matthew 15, verse number 21. The Bible says this, "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." I've thought that many a time in my home. I still have three at home. Anyway, you're all wondering which one's got the devil, amen? Amen. Sarah, where are you at again? No. Anyway, you know, this afternoon, you know, I'm not going to preach like Squirrel, but I just want to tell you, I mean, as far as jumping back and forth, but this afternoon, I was sitting on the stairs. We just got done eating lunch together, and my uncle was with us, and he went back today, but she was going to do fist bump with me, so I stick my hand up there to fist bump, and she hit it, I mean, hit it, and I said, "I ain't fist bumping with you anymore, man." Tell you what, monster. All right, okay. All right. All right, okay, back to the daughter with the devil. Verse 23, "But he answered her not a word." Jesus is the one that didn't answer. "And Jesus, he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." In verse 24, but he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you ask the Lord's blessing on his word? Father, thank you again for letting us be in church tonight. Would you please help each of us tonight, Lord, to be like the Syrophoenician woman. Lord, Father, may we pray and have that faith that she had. Well, Father, again, give us again the words to say in the power of the Holy Spirit. May you be glorified. Thank you that you're a God that we can come to. Would you please again answer our request? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, I was reading this morning in my Bible, and I was reading about Saul, and several times in the passage that talked about Saul, I won't take you there, but it says several times, the Lord had departed from Saul. The chapter I was reading was about the Witch of Endor. It was when Saul could not get an answer from God. The Philistines were come upon him. He couldn't get an answer from God, so he decided to just try to conjure up Samuel to try to be able to get an answer. And I really honestly thought the Lord was going to have us to preach on that tonight. But I guess really I moved to this particular story tonight because there are times that we pray and we don't get answers from God. And I don't think it's like a matter of like Saul. Now, church, I don't want to make you better than what you are because there are times in our life we're not right with God. Psalm 66, verse number 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, what's going to happen? Lord's not going to hear me." And you can pray all you want, and you're not going to get the answers that you need if you're not right with God. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you're miserable when you're not right with God. You're grieved in your spirit when you have aught against your brother, or when you're not right with your spouse, or other problems that you might have in your life, or you're doing things that are secret sins. You're not going to get your prayers answered, and you don't feel good. You don't feel good spiritually. And so tonight, I'm not dealing with the idea of Saul tonight. The reason Saul didn't get his prayers answered is because he was not right with God. He disobeyed God. God told him exactly what to do. When it came to battle, he didn't do it. And God said, "Okay, I'm fine. That's fine. I'm not going to answer your prayers. I'm not going to talk to you." I don't want to deal with that type of situation. I hope that's not you tonight. But if you're not right with God, you're not going to get your prayers answered. But this particular woman, I don't think she's portrayed in Scripture as a bad woman. I don't think she's portrayed in Scripture because of sins in her life. But what is given to us is that she came begging Jesus to cast this demon out of her daughter, and Jesus did not even answer her. In fact, he almost, as the Scripture kind of gives us here, there was no answer. It almost had the idea that he ignored her. Look at verse number 23, first phrase. "But he answered her not a word." Have you ever talked to somebody before and them just ignore you? I'm not talking about your spouse tonight, all right? But have you? Okay, church family, if you were married to Brother Ortiz, would you not ignore him also? Raise your right hand. Okay, that settles that, all right? Mrs. Ortiz is going to have a special crown when she gets to heaven, all right? It's called putting up with the bum. All right, anyway. But do you understand that there are times that sometimes we're talking to somebody and we don't get an answer? This is exactly what happened with the woman, a Syrophoenician woman, as she was trying to talk to Jesus Christ, who was God, and she got no answers. Now, church, I mean, I don't know about you, but there starts sometimes that you pray and you feel like, Lord, how come you, would you at least tell me? Would you at least show me? Now, I don't know how you pray, and I don't believe that you're going to hear an audible voice, okay? And I don't hear audible voices. People who hear audible voices usually have problems, okay? But when we pray, we ask the Lord to please answer our request. And what we find that we want is God impresses on our heart or mind how or what he wants us to do. Lord, would you please show me in this particular situation, do you want me to do this? And we're hoping that God would impress yes or no. But we understand that if we don't get an answer, what are we supposed to keep doing? Supposed to keep praying. It's not that sometimes we don't get the answer. And by the way, we have illustrations in the passage of scripture when Daniel prayed and it took 21 days for the answer to get there, but he kept praying. And we understand that the devil was the one that hindered that answer from even coming. And so there's things like that happen. I don't believe that Jesus did not answer her a word because she was a bad person. I think that because of the story and how it ends, it was an illustration of Jesus testing her faith. Because when you get to the end of the story in verse number 28, it says this in verse 28, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy, what's the word? Faith be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Now, children, if you get the picture in your mind tonight as far as what took place, is Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon. We know what Tyre and Sidon was about because in the book of Ezekiel, they were known for their idolatry. These weren't good cities that Jesus went to. The woman is called a Canaanite. There's two passages, Matthew and Mark. She's called a Greek. She's known by the place that she came from, Syrophoenician woman, from Syrophoenice. Do you understand this woman here? She was not a Jew. That's why Jesus answered her, hey, listen, I'm come to the children of Israel, to the sheep of Israel. And then she responds, hey, listen, even the dogs eat the crumbs. Boy, there's such an illustration there, a powerful illustration as far as her saying, hey, listen, just give me a little bit. And by the way, that little bit cast a demon out of her daughter. Miss Joy just got on singing a few moments ago that God does the impossible, and he does the impossible. And tonight, can I just point out three things from this particular passage of this prayer that God answered? Just from across the auditorium, some of your prayers are desperate, and some of your prayers seemingly minor, but there are no minor prayers when it comes to God. God wants to hear our prayer. God wants to answer our prayer. I have 8 children at home. And my children, I'd be honest with you, I like it when I can fulfill a need that they have or something that they want. Now, we don't, as a parent, we understand. We don't fulfill every need because not every need they need or want. Every need they want, but not every need they need. Amen. It's like having ice cream for breakfast. How many thinks that's a need? Would you raise your hand? I might have to agree with you, all right? But when you look at this particular passage, I want to just point out just a couple things with you tonight, and that's simply this. The reason this prayer got answered, and we all obviously knew it was because of her faith. She believed, she asked. A lot of lessons that we can learn. But a couple of things I want you to notice. Look back at your Bible in verse number 21. What's the first three words in verse number 21? Church family, was it an accident that Jesus was in the very location that this woman was at? Was it an accident that Jesus went to, if I can say, a nation or a country outside of Israel? No. Tonight, we could say that Jesus does things on purpose because he was a son of God. There was no accidents with God, no accidents in your life because God knows what we need. Man's goings are of the Lord. God knows exactly where that woman was. God knew exactly, Jesus knew exactly that he would meet that woman. Then Jesus went. He went to Tyre and Sidon. Now, I want to tell you, if you're going to get a prayer answered, you have to understand tonight. Let me go a step farther. You have to believe tonight Jesus is there. He's there. Sometimes we go through the Christian life and we almost fail to recognize that there are no accidents with God, that God knows exactly what's going on with my life, and we act like he is not even there. And I want to tell you why, because we don't talk to him about it. Isn't it amazing that when we have a problem in life, the first thing that we do is pick up a telephone? The first thing that we do is we talk to somebody. Instead of talking to capital S, the somebody, Jesus Christ himself, that God said Jesus is our intercessor that goes to God the Father. And he says to come boldly to the throne of grace. It goes back to this morning's message of that God consciousness that everything that takes place in our life, God's got a purpose and a plan, and all we have to do is come to him. I look about the reason this prayer was answered because Jesus was there. Church family, if Jesus would not have been there physically, that woman could not have come to Jesus Christ and got that devil cast out of her daughter. But the devil got cast out of the daughter because Jesus purposely went to that place.
Amen.
Do we believe that Jesus is everywhere?
Yes, right.
Verse 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Hey, that's the difference between Satan and God. God's everywhere, Satan's not. God's always there, but yet we treat it as if he's not there. We live so much in this human form that we live by sight, not by faith, and we talk to people that we can see instead of a God that we cannot see. Do you understand that if you're going to get your prayers answered, you have to be conscious he's there. He's there when you cry yourself to sleep tonight. He's there when you don't have money to pay a bill. He's there when you're having a problem with a spouse or a family member. He's there. The Syrophoenician came to Jesus, but before she could come to Jesus, Jesus came to her. You're going to get your prayers answered. You have to understand Jesus is near. Second thing I want you to see is this. This is kind of interesting. Verse number 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. In verse 25, she says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, say the last three words together. Lord, help me. You know, the second thing, if you're going to get a prayer answered, you have to have a need. Now, church family, I know some of our needs and wants, they get a little bit cloudy sometimes. And sometimes those needs God doesn't give us because they're really not a need. It's more of a want. But can I just tell you, you ought to go to God with everything. You ought to go to God with everything. Everything. What do you want? God. And by the way, if we would take more of our needs to God, you'd see God come through in a lot more ways in your life. And I want to tell you, that make you happy as a Christian.
Amen.
To know that God the Father is not just there, but God the Father wants to answer your request. She had a need, and what was the need? It was grievously vexed. Grievously vexed. Tonight across the auditorium, there's needs that each person has, that needs that we don't share. Brother Anderson is home tonight. This morning, ambulance had to come to where he was this morning because he was coherent but just not there. And so they'd come this morning. Now, he's fine for the moment. Still in the hospital. All right, I didn't realize they kept him. So he's still in the hospital. There's a need there.
Amen.
We as a church family pray for those needs, and we should pray for those needs.
Amen.
But how many needs do we have as an individual that we never take to anybody? We carry the burden ourselves. Psalm 55, verse 17, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. In other words, that's the sustaining, the idea. Why should I walk this journey by myself? He wants to be there for you. He wants to help you with those needs that you have. Listen to me tonight. You are living under unnecessary burden because you do not take what your problem is to the Lord. When he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, he says, be careful for... You know what we do? We're careful about everything because we think we're the only one that can take care of the problems that we're having in our life.
Amen.
Just remember, listen to me. When you have a backpack and you start to put things in those backpack, at the beginning, it's pretty light. But the more things you put into the backpack, depending on the weight of whatever it is, it could be books, it could be rocks, I don't care. But the more things that you put in, the heavier that backpack gets. The problem with us as Christians is this. We pick up a book, and that's light enough. We think we can handle it. But by the time you put 10 or 15 or 20 books into that backpack, it starts to be a little bit heavy. And what happens with our individual problems of our life, we look at the problem as small, but when you look at all the things of life, it gets to be pretty heavy. So then what happens is you're trying to live the Christian life discouraged, depressed, nobody cares about me, why am I have to go through this? Nobody calls me, nobody talks to me, why? I don't have the money for this. The problem is not that one thing. It's the grouping of all the things that you didn't give to God to begin with.
Amen.
We all have needs. This woman had a need. Lord, you're going to have to help me. Her need was pretty heavy, grievously vexed. It was her daughter. So whatever needs you have, you're going to get prayer answered. First of all, you have to understand Jesus is near. He's there.
Amen.
The second thing you have to do is you have to bring your need to him. I want you to see one last thing that's kind of interesting to me. But in verse 23, where we pointed out, but he answered her not a word, look what the disciples said next in verse 23. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Your family, the reason she got her prayers answered is because she wouldn't take no for an answer. Wouldn't take no for an answer. I would ask the question, but don't raise your hand, but how many of you fellows got a wife like that? How many of you got a kid like that? I have one. Brother Woods, you got one like that? You have two like that. So you're doubly blessed. Yeah. Stephen is very good. He is going to be one of those best prayer warriors there are, because he's a nag. But you know what? He knows that I'm the one that can change something. So he asked me and asked me and asked me and asked me. And sometimes if I know I'm not going to change my mind, I said, Stephen, don't ask me that again. It's not going to happen. You know, we as Christians, we give up too easy. Because you know what? God wants you to ask him. God can do anything. And God wants us to talk to him. And young people tonight, this is not a parent thing or an adult thing. This is a Christian thing. If you're a Christian, you should be going to God with your request. Caleb Allen is down here in the front row. I don't know how many times in the last 2 weeks he told me, you know what? I think God wants us to have a day off of school. It's because he's so close to God. He knows what God wants. No amens. You know, if it's Stephen, I can just say, Stephen, don't ask me that again. But Caleb, I just look at him like, no, you're going to go to school. I'm glad he asks. You know why he asked me? Because I can cancel school. You want school off tomorrow? God said yes. All right, we're going to cancel school tomorrow for you. No school tomorrow. Like that? College, you want off till day off tomorrow? Forget it, you're going to school. You know, the problem with us as Christians is we don't really believe God can do what he wants, that he can do anything. He can do anything. He can do anything. But can I just tell you, we give up too easy. It's simply, it's not a priority on our prayer list. Just if you want God to do something, you got to pray. Hey, listen, it wasn't a matter that God's ignoring you. God's not ignoring you. Sometimes he's just testing your faith to find out whether or not you really want it or not. You look at the parables of Jesus Christ that Jesus gave. He gave the parable of the unjust judge. He gave the parable of the importunate friend. In both parables, what was the key factor about both of them? At the importunate friend, the friend came to midnight and said, listen, I need some bread. And the guy said, hey, listen, it's midnight. All my family's in bed. Leave me alone. And he kept knocking and said, no. And it says the reason he gave it to him is because of his importunity. What's importunity? To ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. Amen. What was the parable about the unjust judge where the widow comes to the judge and said, would you please avenge me of my adversary? And the unjust judge said, because of her continual coming, I'm going to answer her request. Hey, listen, if you're going to get to the end of the story where the Syrophoenician woman is addressed by Jesus Christ and Jesus says, great is your faith. What was so great about her faith? Because she was willing to keep asking. When the disciples said, would you please send her away? When Jesus wouldn't even give her the time of day, she just kept saying, hey, my daughter's grievously vexed. Would you please cast out that devil? Church family, you want your prayers answered? Realize Jesus is there. You want your prayers answered? Take your needs to Jesus. Amen. You want your prayers answered? Don't take no for an answer. Amen. Now, church, I don't think I'm being blasphemous or saying the wrong thing, because sometimes the Lord, he does say no. Amen. But if you haven't gotten an answer, it says Jesus did not answer. If you haven't gotten an answer, keep asking. There's going to be times in your life the Lord's going to say, no, I don't want that for you. In fact, God did that with Apostle Paul. God, would you get rid of this thorn in my flesh? 3 times, the Bible says. God, would you get rid of this thorn in my flesh? 3 times. God, would you get rid of this? God said, no. That thorn in your flesh, that brings glory to me. Keeps you from being proud. You need that thorn in the flesh. And so he didn't. You understand the story of Moses and God. Moses said, hey, listen, I want to go into the promised land. God said, no, you're not going to the promised land because you shouldn't have hit that rock. I told you to speak to the rock. Finally, God said, don't ask me about this again. You're not going to the promised land. There are times when God tells us and makes clear, no, you can't have what you're asking for. But church family, if you haven't got an answer, can I tell you what you should do? You should do the same thing the Syrophoenician woman did. You know, our problem is sometimes is we get impatient with God, and I don't know why we should be that way, because obviously God can do whatever he wants. But we think that things have to happen right now. You know, it used to be a day that fast food was fast food. The idea was, is you ordered, got your food, and you left, okay? And those days are gone. But sometimes we treat God like that. Here's my order, fill it. And sometimes God doesn't answer. He doesn't say anything.
That's
right. Church family, keep praying.
Amen.
Keep praying. Capital City Baptist Church is going to be starting here. I mean, it's obviously a meeting, but the church is going to become a church eventually here. We've got to keep praying. God, keep sending people to Topeka, the Capital City Baptist Church. Keep letting let people come and help people be saved. Give Brother Arpsindek the words to say. Give him the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't take that off your prayer list.
Amen.
There's people in our church that are struggling. Our senior saints, keep praying for them. People who are on the list that are not saved, keep praying for them.
Amen.
We just give up too easy. So you want your prayers answered? Remember, he's there. You want your prayers answered? Take your needs to him. You want your prayers answered? Don't take no for an answer. And obviously, God didn't tell her no. He just didn't answer her. Talk to the Lord. Trisha, I don't know how you do your prayer time, but I'm just telling you, you need to have a regular time with the Lord.
Yes,
and I want to tell you that morning time with God will cause you to help or help you to be God conscious throughout the day.
That's right.
Keep the Lord as your focus in life.
Amen.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?